Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
Good evening. I stopped grading my messages a long time ago. I just figure it's all depending on how tuned in the listeners are, not how good I am. Yeah. Pressure's on you, my brother. Yeah. Well, interesting season we're in. We're making this shift. I was thinking the other day about the way times and seasons change. And, you know, the Lord shifts into the new season because he's timeless. So he's just already there. But we have to go through time to get there. So sometimes he's there and he says, we're in a new one, but we're not in the new one yet. But we're catching up to where he is. And that's not always easy, but it's a, you can share anytime you want to, because this is your house.
But and I want to honor you,
and I know that whatever you have to say will be good.
Amen. Last year, for the first time in the history of man traveled faster than sound without a machine. The guy that bailed out 24 miles high and plummeted to the earth. And what he just said, the Lord had been speaking to me this week. We watched a video this week. There's a video just became available about this guy's jump. He had cameras on him all the way down. It's a tremendous video. But I want you to hear this. We have entered in. He broke a barrier naturally, right? First the natural, then the spiritual, so that we can begin to move faster than sound. The limits have been taken off of where we can go. God has gone ahead. He has broken the barriers so that we can catch up to him by moving faster in sound.
Well, that's good. It's good. God's been really trying to talk to me about that timing thing. I wish I didn't have this on. I have to clear my throat for all of you to hear. But I wrote down tonight a few things that I've heard the Lord say recently to me, that it just, the way he said it to me is, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. These are some declarations and some decrees that I feel like are for now. And, you know, they're all probably sermons in and of themselves, but we just highlight them and sort of announce them and maybe give enough information to where we all understand it and move to the next one. Don't always get finished. I've got maybe more here than we'll get to, but I think it will help us get focused on what we need to begin to look for him to do. Amen. So the first thing he said to me is, I saw a circle, and I heard the Lord say, I'm going to cause you to circle back to previous words, activities, even gifts. And I didn't really like it at first, because it was like I was watching a person, could have been myself, make a circle. And I thought, well, I don't want to just go in circles. I don't want to just have to cycle back. I want to go this way. I want to break out and move forward. So I didn't like that very well. And then it was just like the Lord carried me up in the spirit. And I was looking down. Well, actually, that's where it started. I was looking down and I saw this circle. But then after I wrote this down, then the Lord just sort of enabled me to come back to an earthly level, and I could see that what I thought was a flat circle was really a cylinder. And even though it was a circle, by the time you got here, you had gone to another level. So you were doing the same thing, but you had cycled up to another level in your activity. Amen. And I thought, well, that's good. I'm into that, right?
Amen.
So the Lord's been talking to me about that. And, you know, sometimes I find myself, I don't know if you do this, but sometimes I find myself back in places where God talked to me a long time ago. Sometimes I'm there in my mind, but sometimes I'm there in natural. And I was back, I just experienced that recently. I went back to Ohio and I ministered in my hometown. And I've done that on numerous occasions in the last few years. But this one was different. The Lord started taking me back in my mind and even to places where my dad had ministered and where I had seen signs and wonders. And then he started connecting me with people that I hadn't seen like 30 years, 35 years. I suppose some of them 40 years. People that I had run with when I first came into the kingdom or back into my walk with the Lord. People that I had really, when I came back to the Lord in 1973, people that I ran with for the first 5 years before I went off to Bible college. And it was people that really helped shape who I am today. It was a group that I prayed with a lot, and we worshiped a lot, and we just hung out a lot. And through that, the Lord started taking me in my thinking back to some things that I had not thought about in a while, and some giftings that I felt like were just lying there dormant. And I feel like the Lord just showed me, you're going to do some of those things again. But this time you're going to do them in a completely new level. So I feel like the Lord is actually going to force us up. It's like there's a draft coming that's just going to catch us and carry us higher. And we're not going to have to strive to get there. We're just going to have to lock our wings and let the thermals and the drafts of the Holy Spirit take us up higher. I feel like with this is coming a higher level of authority for those who are willing to make enough of a shift.
Amen.
What's that?
To contend for.
To contend for the shift. I feel like there are still mantles waiting to be grabbed right now in the spirit realm that have not been laid hold of. And God is saying, come on, man, jump in. I love it when you do it. You know I do.
On January the 5th, Ken Malone was here, and a prophetic word came forth. The Lord spoke to me. He said, I designed that the first Sunday of this year would be on the fifth day because it leaves 360 days. And this will be a year of full circle.
Wow.
And he said, those that contend will go to levels they've never been to because they're going to come back to things that they once valued and they'll revalue. They're going to come back to things they'll reconnect to that they once reconnected to. That was the word that came forth there on January the 5th, and I'm hearing it come through in this. The word that Susan and I entered into this year with, he's saying it's about content. There are blessings coming this year like we've never seen before, but every one of them will be contended for in a level that you've never contended.
Amen. That's right on. And, you know, in this cycle, I heard the Lord say, and this will be number two, I'm going to show up in unexpected ways and in unexpected places. And I'm just going to trust that this doesn't go too far, this message on the internet and through media, because I'm going to say something I don't really want to get out there very far. In fact, well, don't turn it off, but I'll just be careful how I say this. I've said some things that went out on CDs, and I wish some people that heard them didn't hear them. That's what I'm struggling with right now. But I found myself ministering in a congregation, and I was dreading going there because I felt like they were going to be in such a traditional, old line, old school way of thinking that it would just be one of these. And these guys, if you're a pastor or a leader here, you know exactly what I'm talking about. This was going to be one of those times where I'm up pouring my heart out and pushing it with everything I have for an hour. And the whole time I'm up there, I'm going to be thinking, God, get me out of this place. I promise I'll never come back. And I got there and I felt like I felt such conviction during my message because I realized I was talking to a bunch of really hungry people who were really trying to shift. And it was just sort of an old line Pentecostal stream. And, you know, and I came out of that and just, it was just so many things that I feel like they're, over the years, they've been trapped in that won't let them break out to other streams and other messages and other ways of thinking. And I don't know, maybe I found more hunger there than I've found in some of the so-called main in-the-flow churches I've been to in the last year. And I just found myself thinking, I won't be surprised when the Lord shows up here and surprises a whole bunch of other charismatic churches in this region that think they're the only ones hearing from God. He's going to show up in unexpected places and in unexpected ways. You know, this is just a part of this journey I just came on. When I was back there thinking about my dad, when he started moving in words of knowledge, signs and wonders, the most fascinating part of this whole thing to me was usually when a person, over the years, I've watched somebody start moving in gifts of the Spirit, and whether it's prophecy or whether it's words of knowledge or gift of faith or gifts of healing, usually what I see is it's a very gradual thing at a very low and then graduating level. You know, it starts with just a little short word here or there and maybe just a healing or two, and then over a year, the years or months and years, it escalates into more of a full mantle. But the thing that surprised me so much about his entrance into that realm was he just went from here to here. And what had happened was the Lord was doing such a deep work internally that you couldn't see. That he was doing that inside. And in his prayer closet. His personal place with God. And it wasn't like he had a little, you know, just a little short experience and moved into it one night and then moved on. The first time that my dad ever moved in a word of knowledge, he probably called 15 to 20 people out in that service and started telling them their name, the name of their doctor, what happened to them, how old they were when it happened, what kind of an accident it was that left them like this. And people were just and being healed all over the room. And I was sitting out there going, who is this man? Because he had never done it before. God showed up in his life in an unexpected way. Now he was seeking it, but I don't know if anybody knew he was seeking it. I don't think he had told a soul. He was over in a stream in the body of Christ that didn't do that. And he got around some people that moved in the word of knowledge and gifts of healing and miracles. And it awakened something in him. And he said, how did this happen? I'm a 13-year-old kid. How did this happen? How'd you do that, Dad? After the service. How'd you do that? He said, I don't know. So how'd you know that stuff? He said, I don't know. I just knew him. It's like, I look at this guy, I know his name. I know where he lives. I know the congregation. I know. It's just like that information's in there somewhere. He said, I just looked at him. I just knew it. So how did you do this? He said, I've just been praying in the spirit a lot. I got hungry for it. I saw these guys do it and thought, boy, Lord, I'd really like to be used that way. But all he did, okay, here we go, two keys. Here's the only thing I know that he did. He started hanging around the right people, and he started praying in tongues a lot. And the anointing on them started rubbing off on him. And the Spirit of God was being engaged in him and allowed to pray and stir him up and create through his prayers. And he just went to this new level. And he did that. He made that journey upward, but he did it internally. So the Lord's going to show up in unexpected ways. In unexpected places. I won't be surprised if over the next couple of years, there are some pretty serious church splits. Not this time around over carnal people, but, well, it'll be carnal people, but the cause will be God. Because he'll show up in some places and start moving, and some of the people there are not going to expect it or want it. And they're going to say, we don't do that here. But God's going to say, I do. Yeah. And he's going to come and bring a sword. And congregations are going to be forced to make a choice. Do we go or not? And some are just going to leave. Just think about it. There is a particular denomination that I'm not going to call by name that is going to get real messed up in the next few years. Because I've seen in the spirit what's coming to this denomination. It is not what you would call Pentecostal or charismatic at all. God's fixing to make a mess in this organization. You'll see it on the front pages of magazines and newspapers, the chaos that comes as these congregations fight over the Holy Spirit.
I'm hearing the Lord say he takes away the first to establish the second. I think that's Hebrews.
Make it so, Lord. Number three, I heard the Lord say to me, I know he's saying to all of us, but he wanted me to know when he gave me this, I'm talking to you too. I'm going to stretch your paradigms further than where you are right now in your thinking. And I could see in my mind's eye, I could see Peter looking at the sheet filled with food. Animals, unclean food. The Lord said, eat this. And he said, no. The book of Acts is filled from start to finish with a group of people that had to start changing the way they thought. And I remember, and I wasn't a leader in the charismatic movement in the early days in Jesus' movement, but I was involved enough to think back to what happened and realize that God was just constantly stretching the minds, the thinking, the paradigms of leaders in the body of Christ. Through the music, you didn't have guitars and drums and other instruments. We had a piano and an organ. And we didn't do choruses unless it was just Jesus on the main line, you know, something like that. Tell him what you want, call him up and all that stuff. And I remember the first time I heard people singing in the Spirit, just worshiping in that creative song of the Lord. And I thought, what are they doing? Things that we take for granted right now that started stretching the way we thought and worshiped and functioned. And then other ministries started being birthed that ministered a good bit outside the four walls. Personally, I think God used the Full Gospel Businessmen Organization Fellowship in the charismatic movement more than any other group of people anywhere. But they had to meet in hotel rooms and businesses. Because one of the reasons with a lot of the churches wouldn't accept what they were doing. So God just broke the box and got them out of their box. And I feel like we're about to come into a season where, you know, people are going to... Let me give you an example. Let me say this. I didn't know whether I'd say this or not, because I don't get too controversial. I'm not trying to be controversial just to be controversial. But I remember the way we Pentecostals felt when the Catholics started being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it was offensive, because we thought the Catholic Church was the great whore in the book of Revelation. That's the King James translation. I don't know what the newer ones are. Maybe they say the great prostitute. I don't know. But we literally thought that. I'm not trying to be cute up here. That's what we taught. The Catholic Church, that's who that is. And then when these Pentecostals started showing up in some of these charismatic services to check it out, and a lady was up there with her habit on and her rosary hanging there singing the Spirit, everything up here went tilt, and we thought, this can't be God. So what are you going to do when you show up at a Mormon conference? And a bunch of people who still call themselves Mormons are worshiping in the Spirit and speaking in tongues and prophesying. I just did that to mess with some of you. We're going to have... Now, this doesn't mean we're going to compromise Scripture and say people can get into the kingdom another way. It's just a lot of those people in the Catholic Church were born again and we didn't know it. So God started filling the Spirit. And I'm convinced there are a lot of people in the Mormon Church today that are born again. And they don't believe some of the heresy that organization... And you can... Well, I don't... Never mind. I've already gotten myself in... He's going to stretch our paradigms. I know people that still smoke dope when they came into the kingdom in the Jesus movement. I know they still smoke dope for 2 or 3 months. They'd go home from church and fire one up. And it took a while for the Lord to convict them of that. But he did. I know people that still live together without being married for a year or two, but they were truly born again. And finally, the Lord convicted them and they were married. We're going to have to just be real careful that we don't impose religiosity and legalism onto a group of people coming into the kingdom. We're going to have to be very discerning, because sometimes they're still smoking dope because they're not really saved. But sometimes they are because they're still ignorant and they're just not convicted of that yet. But God will get there. Now, something's probably wrong if they're in the kingdom for 10 years and pastoring a church and doing it. I just feel like God's about to do some unusual things. Unusual things. Number 4, the Lord's about, he said, I'm about to stretch you with some new assignments. I'm about to stretch you with some new assignments. Moses was told to go back to the place of his greatest failure and pick up where he left off 40 years earlier. I feel like I've been through as many challenging situations in the last 6 months as I've been through in my life. Some of it's, even though it's been challenging, it's been good to get me ready. I mean, I lost my mother unexpectedly. We didn't expect this. Then I had the neck and issues where I had to have surgery, and for 3 months before the surgery, life was just misery. Some of you with back issues and neck issues, maybe you can relate. Life was just misery for 3 months. Maybe October through parts of September through into November. I don't think I had the surgery sometime toward the end of November, but just misery. But now I'm probably healthier than I've been in the last 30 years.
Thank you, Lord. That's right.
You see?
Thank you.
Right. That pushed me. It's like that issue that I had struggled with on and off for probably 30 years. I just almost feel like the Lord allowed it to get to a point where I'd have to go get the surgery, because all of a sudden I'm well.
Amen.
And I don't have the distraction that I had learned to live with. It's true. And I wasn't sleeping well. I didn't even know it. So then I just felt, she talked me in, the deductible was met, the insurance. She said, why don't you get this work done in your sinuses that you've been putting off for 30 years? I had a deviated septum. They said, your left side's probably 80% closed. And some of your sinus cavities are just scar tissue. They're not open at all. Why don't you let us fix that? And so I had that done a month after the other surgery, and that took me into the new year. And it was misery for a couple, 3 weeks, but I forgot what it was like to breathe out this side of my face. Yeah. And I used Afrin for probably 30 years just to sleep at night. That stuff's bad for you. My blood pressure went down when I got off the Afrin.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm having to adjust my blood pressure medication because I had surgery on my nose. I was just saying, and then I don't want to go into all that, but I just came through a bout with shingles. Because they said, you get two surgeries in a month. And these two rounds of steroids that we gave you lowered your immunities, and that virus in you. If you've had chicken pox, you have shingles virus. And you had no ability to ward it off, so just it's the price you paid for getting well. I said, well, thanks a lot. Fire you and go to another doctor next time. So for the last month, I've gone through that. But you know what? I'm not. It's just like, I think I had more grace to walk through that than anything I've ever walked through. I'm not saying God gave me shingles. I'm saying even though these were difficult situations, I'm healthier than I've been in the last 20 years.
Amen. That's good. That's powerful.
Amen. And I think, I just think God is saying, I'm getting you ready for the next season.
Right.
I'm just getting ready to run like I've not run. I've been distracted the last 4 or 5 months. Yeah, but you know what? God's grace has helped me get through that season.
Amen.
Have I gotten as much done that I would have gotten done? Probably not, but I'll get more done in the next 10 years because I've been willing to walk through that, because God's getting me ready for some new assignments. I feel such a weighty, heavy glory hanging over me, and I know it's over others right now, that we're just about to step into something that we're just going to, it's almost going to be breathtaking. It's these new assignments that are coming. And I tell you, I am very sober right now in my mind and my attitude. There are some people, they don't know what to do with me right now. They think I'm discouraged or oppressed or just, why are you so intense? I'm very sober right now. Focused, sober, intent, readying myself for what is coming. I feel like I'm getting ready for a Super Bowl in the spirit. Amen. I'm focused. Amen. Like Seattle got, not Denver. Because God's about to stretch us with new assignments. In 3 days, you're crossing over. Amen. And then you're going to take Jericho. Amen. And then you're going to conquer this giant and that giant. And then you're going to go get Hebron back, and you're going to start eating from gardens you didn't plant, living in houses you didn't build. You're going to take your promised land. Huge change is coming quickly, and new assignments are going to be moved into. Number five. Lord said to me, I'm going to define and identify the next season through your waiting on me. Amen. He reminded me of Moses and Joshua going to the mountain for 40 days. So that God could give the law, the commandments, and really so many mandates and ordinances that they would live by. And it's always fascinated me that when Moses, when they went to the mountain, the two of them, Scripture says for 6 days, they sat there and they could see the cloud, and they could, if you couple that with what the people down below were seeing, it rumbled, it glowed, there was thunder and lightning and shaking, and they were right next to it, sitting there waiting. But the Lord didn't let them sit there for an hour and then say, come on into the cloud. He let them sit there for 6 days before he said anything. Can you imagine? There was this young man, Joshua. Moses probably used to God's strange ways. Imagine after the second or third night, who knows what they were eating, drinking. Maybe they were fasting water as well as food. Maybe after 3 days or the third night or into the fourth day, probably Joshua was saying, Moses, are you sure you heard from God? He's not saying anything. 5 days? What if the pastor, what if your leader called a prayer meeting and said, we're going to wait on God till he speaks, and you were there 4 days later and God hadn't talked yet, and he was saying, just be still, he'll show up. You know, we'd all think he was crazy. Unless, of course, there was a cloud and a little lightning here and there. But after 6 days, on the seventh day, he said to Moses, come into the cloud. And Moses went in and started talking with God and getting all this information. But Joshua was not invited in. So Joshua, this is really mind-blowing to me, he was there for another 33 days by himself. What do you do for 33 days listening to the rumbling? Do you wonder, is this guy still alive in there? Is maybe he could hear the Lord finger carving in the rock. Maybe he was having his own encounter outside the cloud. We don't know. God just chose not to tell us what was going on. But we do know this. When they came down off of that mountain and Moses put up a tabernacle and put the ark inside, put up a tent so the ark could be in there, the glory would come manifest. Moses would go in. Joshua would go in with him. Moses leave the tent. Joshua wouldn't leave the tent. He said, Moses, can I just hang out in here for a while? I know one of the things that happened to Joshua up there, he got infected with a hunger for the presence of God. And he became addicted to it. And I feel like the Lord is saying to people right now, come into some extended times with me. Leaders, business people, I don't care who you are. I feel like the Lord is saying, if you will come into my presence and wait, it may take a few days. You may have to do it every morning for a month. But sooner or later, God's going to start talking to you and he's going to start writing out your future. But I feel like he's saying to me, and I can just, let's just try it again. I feel like he's saying to me, I'm not going to do this to speak some of the new things you need to hear right now. I'm not going to do it on your drive from house to airport. Now, I use that example because I'm always praying when I'm in my truck. I'm always thinking. I always take advantage of any little window I get just to tune in. And I believe that's a blessing to me and the Lord. But he's saying to me, that's not going to be enough. I'm going to need you to come aside 2 or 3 days here, a day there, a week maybe. I'm actually thinking, is it cabin time for me for a week? Just to get away where I don't talk to another human being for a week, but just grab my CDs, my worship, and go in there, get my Bible and a notepad and some firewood and just shut myself in with God and wait. Yeah. Now, he probably won't expect you to do that, probably not at the level or as much time as he would me, because you can't probably just take the time off from work that I can take off. But you can do something. And I feel like this is a real word from the Lord. For some of you, an hour early, out of bed with God for a week or two or three or four, that's your week in a cabin. Or you fast lunch for a week and you just pull away, find a place to go in your lunch break and just sit and wait and listen to God. I'm telling you, he's going to show up. The mountain is going to rumble, and you're going to leave there with instruction. Do you know the Spirit of God well enough to know, to sense he's talking to somebody through this? Right? This is a word of the Lord. It is. Number six, God said, I'm going to release mega grace and mega power. Acts 4:33. The apostle says, with great power, they gave witness to the resurrection of Jesus. And great grace was on them. Great is mega. In Greek, megas, we get the word mega from it. Mega power and mega grace. We are coming into a season of tremendous grace and power. Favor. God's favor and grace is about to be released in extraordinary ways. When my dad started moving into those gifts of the Spirit, people started being healed. I'd never seen, listen, I went from a season as a kid watching him. I'd never seen anybody healed to seeing miracles every week. Dramatic miracles. Paralyzed people healed. Blind eyes opening. Cancers healed. Back straightened. Crippled, crooked limbs straightening before my eyes. Amen. Resurrections. Doctor saying, we're going to have to induce labor. The baby in you is dead. Amen. Prayed over, goes back the next day. I don't understand, but I was wrong. The baby's alive. I'll tell you what happened, and we knew what happened. That baby was raised from the dead in the womb. I saw that kind of stuff every week. Every week. Because we stepped into a season of mega grace. Mega power. And we've been crying out for this, and we're about to step into it. If you wait, if you'll spend those times listening, and if you'll make the circle to a higher level, I'm telling you, there's mega grace and mega power about to be released. There are going to be people who have been waiting on miracles, healings in their body for 20 years. They're going to get it within the next 6 months. I just heard recently the testimony of the second person verified documented healing of autism. The second one. But I'm telling you, you're going to see Alzheimer's patients instantly healed. Brain completely functional. All damage gone. You're going to see it. Extraordinary miracles. Mega power. Amen. Creative. I don't even know how these, some of these, my dad, I think back on that, how did he step into this so suddenly? He never cast a demon out in his life. And it was, overnight he went into a season where it was common for him to cast out demons. He stepped into a realm of authority and discernings of spirits. And I tell you, the Spirit of God would come on him. He would know instantly, is this disease caused by just a physical problem or is this a spirit of infirmity? And most of the time it was physical, but it wasn't all that uncommon for him to realize this is a spirit. And he freaked people out because he didn't take them to the back room. He just stood there right in front of the whole congregation and said, come out of her. Sometimes they'd fall on the floor and start shaking. Sometimes they would throw up. They'd always get up healed. And that kind of ended the debate for us whether or not a Christian could have a demon. I said, well, I guess they can. See, grace is when people get saved. Mega grace is when Saul of Tarsus gets saved. Because it's one thing for people to get saved that are looking. It's another thing for people to get saved that aren't even looking, seeking. When you're on a mission, destroy Christians and you become one on the route there. That's mega grace. That's grace being poured out that is irresistible grace. That means the person leading the fight against prayer in school begins to lead the fight for prayer in school. The person leading the fight for abortion starts leading the fight against abortion. Atheists start preaching the gospel. Because mega grace is just a deluge of power. When this happens, people that seemingly cannot overcome certain sins are delivered instantly.
Amen.
Person told me the testimony just this week. Prayed for their dad, who was an alcoholic. His mother had died unexpectedly, so his dad became even a worse alcoholic and was just one of these guys that was just, he said he was just a drunk. He wasn't just a professional that could hide it. He just turned into a drunk. Couldn't work. He said, my brother and I went in and we cast the spirit of alcoholism and addiction out of him. And he never drank another drop. And this is what shocked me. And 2 years later, said he got saved. I said, you delivered him before he was saved and he stayed delivered? He said, never drank another drop. He said, that spirit manifested and we cast it out. And he was completely different, delivered of alcoholism before he was even saved.
Amen.
I know people can stop drinking before they're saved. But it's rare that they're delivered from a demon and stay delivered before they're saved. That's mega grace and mega power that is so strong that demons flee.
Amen.
Don't torment us. Just let us out of here. That's what they said. We'll leave. Please don't torment us. Just let us go. We're moving into a season where that's going to happen. Fear of God is going to come in rooms. People that don't even believe are going to sit there with the fear of the Lord on them and be afraid to criticize because something will have changed in their heart and mind and they'll know, I don't know, I may not follow this myself, but I know this is real. You know, that's what happened with Benjamin Franklin, don't you? He used to go to George Whitefield's meetings. He used to love to hear him preach, but Franklin wasn't saved. Most historians that I have read that are credible to me would say that by the end of his life, he had come to the Lord, Franklin. But he used to go hear the guy preach. He would come under such conviction, Whitefield would raise $30,000 offerings back in 1800s for orphanages and missions. So there'd be several thousand people out in the streets. He'd raise $30,000. Because it wasn't because the power and the conviction that he would start talking about it and they would just want to give. Franklin said he started leaving his wallet at home because he'd always give away everything he had. And he said, on one occasion, he left it home because he knew what would happen if he took it with him. But he got so convicted, he ran home, got his wallet, and gave in the offering. Because it was a season, and this man's anointing had captured the heart of God, and he'd moved into a place, a mantle, an authority that was flowing through him, and mega grace and mega power was being released from his messages. And it became irresistible.
Amen.
Number 7. I am expecting, as I've heard the Lord say this more than once, increased angelic activity.
Yeah.
Visitations. Impartations. Dreams, night visions. Angels coming to our aid.
Amen.
fighting, warring angels, messenger angels. There are more for us than against us. You're not alone in your battle. There are more for you than against you. If we're not careful in our spiritual warfare movement, we forget that there are more for us than against us. I don't know why the Lord's never let me see an angel, but I've felt them. My wife has seen them. My daughters have seen them. I don't know what the Lord's trying to tell me, because I've never seen one. Clay, you've probably seen them, haven't you? Susan, you've probably seen them, haven't you? I've never seen one. It really ticks me off sometimes. How many of you have seen angels? And you know it was an angel. Like, I've probably seen some and didn't know it was an angel. Yes. See? That really ticks me off. You never seen one? What's wrong with you? Give me a water.
I felt one come in the room a minute ago, right before you said that.
Whoa. See, that's me. I can sense them.
And then you said this.
Yeah. You sense one. You sense an angel come in the room right before I said that. Did you really say that?
I did. I told she heard.
See, right before I said that, she said, angel just came in the room. That's something. Well, I can sense them. And I'm frequently told by people they see angels behind me when I'm ministering. Usually an angel. There's usually a particular angel that they always describe the same angel when they see it. So I'm trying to keep myself reminded that there is an army.
Amen.
Fighting for me.
Yes.
That always outnumbers the ranks of the enemy.
Amen.
Angels. But I believe angelic activity is about to increase. So I don't say that so that we will focus our attention off of the Lord and onto the angels, but that we would be alert and expect angelic help. And when there's a messenger that comes, we receive them. And I think it's appropriate to ask. I think it's appropriate to say, Lord, would you send angels to help me right now? And they can do amazing things. You know, when they came to rescue Peter from prison, the chains fell off. Angels somehow could unlock the chains without a key. They made the gates open of themselves. Well, there were invisible angels opening the gates. One angel in the Old Testament killed 180-some thousand, I think it was, of Sennacherib's army.
Amen.
One angel. Don't be surprised if you awaken one night soon and realize there's an angel in your bedroom talking to you. I believe angels are going to be sent to people that are sinners to bring them to an awareness of the realm of the spirit.
Yeah.
And bring it bring a message to them and give them dreams even. You know, this is really funny while he's coming. I came this close, Clay, to saying, this is the honest truth. I almost leaned over you and said, I want you and Don to have a microphone while I speak because I believe the Lord's going to give you words while I'm speaking. Isn't that awesome? I'm glad I didn't say it because now everybody knows it's not because I said it that it's happening. I just love it. But you have a word, yeah.
Yeah, I mentioned I was just in Mexico City. Most of you know I had a vision 10 years ago of Jesus standing up in Brazil. And when he stood up, there were mighty angels that stood up with him all through South America, Colombia, through Central America, and through New Mexico and into the heartland of the United States, specifically in this place where we are, through Dallas, Memphis, and this region, what I call the heartland. And Jesus said to me at that time, you would say, Lord, send mighty angels. But he said, these angels have been here all along. And they've been waiting. And I was just in Mexico City at the birthplace of Quetzalcoatl, the principality. God said, I don't want you to face that principality, but I want you to open the gate that's in that region because I am going to release something new and there will be an angelic response. And that's why I come here this weekend. So I'm declaring and announcing in what Dutch is saying that there are angels who have been waiting for this season, who now have something to release in this time of awakening. God's not only awakening us, but he's awakening his army.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, Dutch, let me just add this in. I'm in Dutch's brother, I believe, has one of the greatest teaching on angels I've ever heard. And him and I have been trying to find the dates. I want to bring him to this region. Because one of the things I know, whatever you focus on, God does. And I want to focus on the ministering angels being released across this region. And he's actually going to be in the area, and we thought we just couldn't work it out for that time. But I will be booking him to come in and minister on that. I want him to bring the War Eagles message and the angels message while he's in. We need this to equip us. And I, you know, even with Bunny getting that word right before he went to 4-7, I think it's just confirmation of what he's wanting to do. You get ready for greater. And let me just share with you, those of you that have children, they're going to sense it and experience it first. They're going to be the forerunners. The Lord spoke that to me a few months ago. The children are going to sense them and respond to them quicker than we are. And so listen to your children when they talk to you about an angel being in the room.
I agree with that. You know, when my daughter Hannah, who's a seer, started seeing demons and angels at a very young age. She just had discerning of spirits. She thought everybody could see them. We'd be standing talking to somebody and she could see a demon on them and wonder why we didn't respond or do anything. Because she just thought everybody could see what she was seeing. She didn't know that I wasn't seeing it. She went to a season where, then when she got to about 11 years old, I remember nine, anyway, for a 2-year season, she didn't see angels or demons because she became afraid because she was seeing it so often. She asked the Lord, she said, I don't want to see him anymore. And it stopped for 2 years. And then the Lord brought some people into our lives that could help her and school her and mentor her and tell her what was happening. We didn't know she was seeing him. We didn't know she'd told the Lord, I don't want to see him anymore. But then when she told us all this, we got her with some of our friends that were seers, and they started mentoring her, and she said, Lord, I want to see in the spirit again. And instantly the gift started operating again. A lot of times in our ministry, in my ministry, I'll just say, Hannah, get around this person and just have a little conversation with them and see if you see anything on them. Because she's that tuned in. And she'll come to me and she'll say, no, it's just some fleshly things, but there's no demon there. seers and the children. It's going to happen. You know, don't be afraid of it. Just teach them. Teach them what to do with it. Amen. Here's an interesting one, number 8. I heard the Lord say, I'm going to redirect the river. And I thought, well, Lord, what's that all about? And I saw immediately, he took me to Acts, and I saw where the emphasis of what the Spirit was doing moved from Jerusalem to Antioch. And I felt God was saying, I've been moving in some places that I'm going to have to leave there, and I'm going to have to start moving over here, because probably because these people have grown stagnant or cold or stale or rigid or an old wineskin. Maybe sometimes because of just the purposes of God, he'll start emphasizing another region. But a lot of this is going to be because places kind of dry up, and God redirects the river someplace else. There are entire cities and regions in this hour that God's going to, as it were, put the Ichabod sign over that city and say, you missed a visitation. Now I'm going to do it over here. Yeah. It is coming. It's absolutely coming. Congregations, I offered you this. You didn't take it. You used it for your own gain, or you just took it for granted, or you didn't pursue me the way you needed to or should have. And so I'm going over here. And he's going to just redirect the river to the places that are thirsty. Amen. And open.
Right.
Open enough to say, we don't care how you do it or what it looks like.
Yes, that's right.
We're just available. We're hungry.
Amen.
We don't care how you do it. We just want it. The river of the Holy Spirit redirected. Paul's about to go to Asia. Holy Spirit says, don't go that direction. Go to Macedonia. This is where I want you. This is where I'm moving. I'm just going to do one more. I heard the Lord say, I'm about to open regions in the Spirit to the outpouring of my Spirit. Entire regions are about to open. And some of that will be connected to increased levels of authority. I don't know which comes first here. But I see people being pulled up into a higher level of authority. Maybe they're made that spiral to another level. But I see the opening of the region is connected to the authority of the leaders. And it's all connected. And it's like, won't just be a congregation that has an open heaven. Regions will have open heaven. Counties and states, maybe whole states. I think maybe entire states. But cities, counties, regions will experience an open heaven. It will almost be like you drive into it and you'll know when you get into it.
Yeah.
It'll be that distinct. I'm just hearing the Lord say, we should even begin to think regionally. You know, and that's one of the significant things I think God's been doing with apostles and prophets in this last few years, maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 years. He's getting us to the point where we're not thinking house, congregation. We're thinking region. We're thinking sphere. I don't know how you worded it earlier, one of you guys, but we're understanding this thing now that we're assigned not to one congregation, but if you're truly an apostle, you're assigned to a region. And I think prophets are as well, in a different way, but they are. And God links apostles and prophets, and he'll assign them to a region. And where people have received that and honored that and understand that, because understanding authority increases with increased understanding and revelation. I probably need to say that again. Authority increases with increased understanding and revelation. So where that is where that is understood, then, and the revelation of that comes, then we have an ability to impact that region in a different way.
Right. Amen.
See, I started understanding this a few years ago when God started sending me to this nation, and when he's mantled me for the nation. You know, I could be ministering with somebody that might know the word more than I and move in certain gifts better than me. You know, in some levels, if we were just talking about general level of maturity or spirituality, they'd be at a higher level but me. But in another sense, I was moving at a level of authority they weren't moving in. When I would move around the nation, because my sphere is America. I'm not called as much to other nations as some of these guys are, because once in a while the Lord will send me to another nation, but my sphere of authority is America.
Amen.
And since I'm not assigned to a state or a region of the country, I just realize I've come to the awareness that it doesn't make a difference where I go in America. I operate in a certain level of authority just because of my calling. I don't have to be the most spiritual person. I mean that in a good sense. I don't have to be the most spiritual person in the room. I'm just moving in my sphere of authority, my assignment.
Exactly. Right.
So there'll be others that are just as mature as I am, but they may have a different sphere and assignment, so they'll have to do things a little differently. But I have this assignment to the entire nation. And so one of the things that I feel like God has done over the last few years is he's helped us understand our assignments apostolically, and even for prayer assignments, and congregations will be assigned to a region. And some congregations they're not assigned to get everybody saved and grow to 10,000. They're assigned to stay small so they can impact the region in the spirit realm. You can't have 3 and 4 hour services and sinners come and get saved 100, 200 at a time. They won't sit through that.
Right.
But God needs some people that will come and sometimes just pray for an hour or two.
Right.
And worship for 2 hours. So you have to understand your assignment and your authority and what God has called you to do. And you have to be comfortable with that. But I tell you, this thing is coming to a higher level of revelation, and we're going to understand our assigned realms and regions, and God's going to start opening up entire regions.
Amen.
You're going to know it's an open heaven when you walk into it.
Amen. That's right.
Demons won't even want to be in that region.
Yeah.
Praise God. Whoa. Whoa. It is. They won't like to be in that region. The power of God, the presence of God, the authority of the Lord will be so released in that region, they won't want to be there. And then when they leave, everything will just go to another level. Because the work they're able to do to blind hearts and minds and oppress and destroy will be shifted just because their presence will go. You can get to the point, I'm not as good at this as some people, but You know, you can get to a point where if you could get it, have yourself fine-tuned enough in your prophetic anointing of discerning and discerning of spirits, but also just discernment, that you can go into a region and you can pretty much discern the spirit where that region is spiritually. You can discern the strong man. Yeah. I can go into some regions and I can feel it's a region of pride. And money is God, and there, the stronghold is there. I go to another region, and I can sense its perversion. Yeah. I can go into some regions, and I can sense its religion. So regions take on certain identities, and because of spiritual activity there. But that's about to change, and that's going to shift. And you'll be able to go into a region, and you'll realize there's a freedom in this region. There's something here that I can hear from God.
Amen.
You know how you go into some congregations? It's just an open heaven prophetically. Well, some of you will relate to this. You go to some places, it's just easier in that house of worship, that congregation. It's just easier to hear from God. Because they've created an open heaven. There's a prophetic anointing in the room. Well, that's going to happen for regions.
Yeah. Amen.
That's going to happen for regions. And there are wells in places. There are wells, certain congregations or people have wells in their past, their inheritance, their generational wells. But there are regional wells. There are regional strongholds, but there are regional wells. There are regions that in the past have had revivals. God's going to awaken that region in this season. And you're going to see that gush up again. Watch Kentucky. I'm telling you, Kentucky's going to get slammed. But of course, it won't just be Kentucky, right? I feel like there's a move of God coming to New York. How many of you think they need it? But I can just see it in my spirit even as I say it. There's a well there in that New York area that God's going to reopen, and he's going to start pouring out his spirit in New York.
And it was open this week. Justin Bieber was baptized this week in New York. I'm serious. When the Lord spoke to me.
Good. I didn't hear anything about that, but I didn't watch the news much this week. I'm telling you, I'm not surprised. It's coming.
Salvation is coming to me.
I'm telling you, it's the first time I've said that tonight. I just heard that by the Spirit when I was up here. It's New York is one of them. It's coming to New York.
Amen.
I'll tell you another one. Philadelphia. So you get an open heaven, you get in a place the prophetic is just in the atmosphere. You can just tap into this, some of this. Dallas, another one, not just because I'm there, but it's another one. Thank God. Did you say Chicago?
I saw it on the vision 10 years ago.
You know, it's interesting because we were just praying for Chicago last Sunday, and Chuck started prophesying over Chicago, what God's about to do in Chicago.
Amen.
I'll tell you. See, regions are going to start opening. This stuff's not too hard for God.
Yeah, right.
He's just got to get the heavens ready, and the atmosphere's got to be ready, and the harvest season has to get to a ripened place through the prayers, the decrees, the worship, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, him working behind the scenes, angelic activity, and a place gets ripe and ready, and God can begin to pour out again, and another wave of revival hits.
Hallelujah.
And even places that just look like, come on, not there. I'll tell you, there. Detroit could use one, that's for sure. Amen. See, God even let some of these places get impoverished and desperate so they'll cry out and be saying, we need something. We need God's help. So, Lord, we just end this and we just wrap all this up in one prayer and prophetic prayer and decree that just says we are moving quickly toward a vortex. Winds coming from the north, south, east, and west that become a vortex of Holy Spirit blowing, that your angelic hosts are being positioned to help us. And we're about to see you move in ways that we have been believing for, crying out for, prophesying about. But Lord, it is upon us. Religious strongholds and strongholds of darkness that have been entrenched there for centuries are about to be broken, dislodged. There is a great disturbance coming in the heavens. Mississippi will receive a disturbance in the atmosphere. Mississippi will receive the power of God, electricity in the atmosphere. Amen. That will shatter demonic systems in the atmosphere. Amen. Break through their networks, and angel forces will invade Mississippi.
Amen.
Lord, all over this nation, regions are going to open. Places of darkness, they will open. Even the Lord showed me the other day, reservations, Native American reservations, are going to be visited by the Spirit of God, and revival is going to begin to break out in the youth on the reservations. God's going to pour out His Spirit on the young people, and it's going to be a catalytic thing that begins to spread until revival and the gifts of the Spirit and signs and wonders, miracles, are going to be taking place on reservations all over America.
Yes.
And the cry, the desperate cry to save them, to break the alcoholism, the poverty, the hopelessness, the despair, the loss of identity, the idolatry, all of these things, God's just going to break through.
Amen. Amen.
The dark places of the earth will receive light. You better watch that Middle East. I'm telling you, things are about to shake. And God is going to visit many over there. Imams, terrorists. He is going to begin to, I tell you, Jordan is about to be hit with a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we just ask you to get us sensitized and ready.
Yes.
Get us to the mountain.
Amen.
Where we can wait and listen and receive. Be ready for whatever you want to do. We don't care what it is. We're just positioned. Increase our capacity.
Yeah.
Stretch us a little more.
Yes, Jesus.
Soak the wineskins a little more so that we can stretch with any outpouring you want to give. And we won't break. Lord, let there be these suddenlies and unexpected outpourings like happened with my dad, where one day we've never moved in the word of knowledge, and the next week we're reading mail over people and the secrets of their heart and the hidden places of pain are being ministered to, and people are being set free and healed because, Lord, you're getting a people ready, and it looks like they've been going in a circle, but you've been taking them to another level. So we just lay hands upon our eyes and our ears and our hearts, and we say, Lord, we are available. We are positioned before you. We are expectant. We are ready in the sense of our hearts. We want it. We're hungry. We've been through a season of cleansing and preparation and even difficult, tight places to get us ready for what's coming. And so, Lord, now we're just saying, pour out your spirit.